Welcome to yet another episode of Saffron Spice with Isha and Shivani. I'm Shivani and we are back with another episode of our podcast. Hi Isha, how are you doing?
Hi Shivani, I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So what are we talking about today?
So Shivani, today's topic is vegetarianism. You know, whether we have an office dinner to attend, or we're going out for lunch with our friends, or we're going for a summer barbecue. Our orders are always going to be followed by, could you please make sure there's no meat in my meal? Or we're always going to be, you know, looking at menus, getting a little hysterical about, is there going to be any vegetarian options in that restaurant? So it's been a personal experience of mine. I am a vegetarian since my childhood, since birth. And, you know, it always brings up this question from my friends, whether they are Westerners or whether they're Indians, about vegetarianism and India. Is it a part of our culture? Is it a part of our religion? Nowadays, with all that's out there in the news with lynchings and the beef ban in India, is it a political thing? So that's the topic for our podcast today, Shivani. Are you a vegetarian? Tell me.
I am a vegetarian, Isha, so I can relate to going to, you know, lunches and dinners and always... I'm usually the one always speaking to the waiter, you know, what are your vegetarian recommendations or so forth, you know, always making sure that there's something there for me to eat. But I actually haven't been vegetarian all my life. So my mother is actually a veg, as us Indians term it, and my father's a non-veg. So I grew up eating meat, although obviously beef was sort of forbidden. But for some reason, I can still remember very clearly the very first time I sort of bit into a cheeseburger at McDonald's. So I think... as a child growing up in Sydney, these McDonald's birthday parties were quite popular at one stage. They were somewhat trending, but I was actually never allowed to have a cheeseburger because it had beef, and it was the Happy Meals that always had the toys. So it always sort of, you know, I always felt I was missing out on something. So obviously, you know, at the tender age of 10 or 11, I didn't really have a deep understanding. You know, I was too young to think about it philosophically. So all I knew is that I wasn't allowed to eat beef. The rebellious side in me at that age, and I guess it was just more or less to fit in. I was, young. But I do remember, for some reason it's lodged into my head, that first bite into a cheeseburger, and it may have been my last. But it, you know, all a few years later in my mid teens is when I actually decided to become vegetarian, and it was more or less out of compassion. And it was at an age where perhaps I started exploring the spiritual direction I wanted to take my life. And I had, you know, I was being exposed to the teachings of the Gita and the Samaja that my parents were actively involved in. You know, the principles and human values that I had adopted through this Samaja basically, you know, inspired me to incorporate a more compassionate diet, which guided my decision. So it was very much centered around ahimsa, which is non-violence. So I guess that's the reason I became vegetarian, and all these years later, still veg. Yeah.
That's a great journey that you mentioned, because I relate to it, because I have seen a lot of children in the West going through it themselves. You mentioned the instance about, you know, the birthday parties. I mean, a pepperoni pizza and a cheeseburger are probably the only two options a child has in the West, which especially back in the day when the world wasn't so aware of vegetarianism. So what would a child do? So of course I completely relate to it, and it's great that you know, it's a conscious decision for you, and it's a guided decision that you sort of made as you became an adult. Unlike me, where I was born into vegetarianism, in my family, even eggs used to be forbidden, you know. I remember my mom sneaking eggs into the house because she read in magazines that egg whites are good for conditioning the hair. And, you know, to condition the hair, she had to like sneak it in, and she would hide it from my grandparents. And, you know, it was like a big hush-hush. Nobody should know that there's an egg in the house, you know. So that's how much of vegetarian my household was.
Mm-hmm. So you were born, you were born into it, and you've remained a vegetarian all these years later.
Yes, I was born into it, but you know, all of my cousins and even like all of my friends who sort of are from the same family structure like I am, we've all sort of had a chance of deciding once we've become adults. So a lot of them have chosen to, you know, start eating meat in their life. So it's not like a hardcore, you know, you're going to be ostracized from the society if you eat meat sort of a setup. But it's not preferred. So my parents will still like stay away from all types of meat or even eggs for that matter. But everybody in my family has had a choice, and I had one too, where I could, decide to start eating meat if I wanted to. I could make my own decision probably when I reached my teenage or something. But I did decide to continue following it. I am very much a vegetarian still. And now it's much more of a conscious choice than like a forceful practice. So I consciously am a vegetarian, and I'm loving it. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Oh, makes the two of us. Well, I guess, you know, Indians and especially Hindus, you know, we have this worldwide reputation for being, steadfast vegetarians. In fact, I think, you know, for decades, vegetarianism has been one of India's sort of cultural exports. And given we've got the highest percentage of vegetarians in the world, with I think nearly 30% of India being vegetarian. But Isha, I mean, this really sort of poses the question, you know, obviously not all Indians are vegetarian, but why does India have so many vegetarians?
That's a really interesting question, Shivani, and that's a great statistic that you brought out too. As you mentioned, almost 70% of the India eats some form of meat, or, you know, whether it's fish or just seafood. Unlike popular opinion about India, not the whole country is vegetarian, but India probably has the largest number of vegetarians in the world. But why does India have so many vegetarians? I think there's several reasons for it, and it was not always so in our culture. But as the culture has sort of evolved through the years or through the centuries, our food choices have evolved too. And I think these food choices evolved in two ways, Shivani. One was geographic reasons. I think purely, you know, you're near coastal regions. Seafood is going to be available in abundance. Hence, seafood is a part of the diet. You're in, a region like you're in Rajasthan or something, the vegetation is going to be sparse. Hence, you're more dependent on sort of preserved vegetables, pickled vegetables, and you know, you have like those techniques that have developed over the years. So a lot of food choices were sort of geographic food choices. At the same time, there were different religious movements going on in different parts of India. So we had people following Jainism, we had people following Buddhism, we had people following different forms of Hinduism, and whatever sort of religion or sect or religious ideology that they followed also had its own set of recommended food items, a list of sort of do's and don'ts, what you may or may not eat. And I think this is how a large chunk of Indians have become vegetarians and sort of continue doing so. Nowadays, it is evolving more and more as a conscious choice. It's not necessarily guided by just religion or geography for that matter. Now it's much more of a conscious choice, not just vegetarianism. Even veganism is something that people are really going towards. So I think now people are making much more informed decision, but I guess this is how it may have evolved. What's your take on it, Shivani?
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, it's often assumed, vegetarianism is often assumed the norm in India. And it's obviously, it obviously has been, you know, encouraged or perhaps imposed, as you say, by ideologies of religion. But, you know, as time has evolved, you know, being vegetarian has somewhat, people are making informed decisions. So it's become a trend from an ethical point of view as well. But I think largely with Indians, you know, with Hindus specifically, you know, those of us who do believe in karma and dharma will stick to vegetarianism. And I just want to point out that there's, you know, different degrees of vegetarianism amongst us Indians as well. So you've got, you know, Jains as well that tend to have quite strict diets in terms of what they can and can't eat. And, you know, even amongst friends and family members that I know, you know, some drink milk or eat eggs and some don't eat eggs, or some are just veg on you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays. So there's a wide variety, I guess. But I think, I mean, according to me, I think the main reasons would be, I think, ahimsa, obviously, you know, the law of non-injury and non-violence plays a pivotal role. But, you know, in this day and age, there's various reasons. I mean, there's, you know, the karmic, the spiritual reasons, health reasons, and, you know, the ecological reasons. So I think, and we're seeing this, you know, people taking up this a vegetarian diet around the world due to, you know, massive ecological problems like global warming and so forth.
Right, Shivani, but I would like to interrupt you over there and point out, as you mentioned, you know, a lot of Hindus, we Hindus follow the principle of ahimsa, but Shivani, not all Hindus also are vegetarians. Like, so many, you know, you look at the Hindus of West Bengal, they are fish eaters. They even like fish is even prepared in special ways during special times of the year. Similarly, I think Rajputs are meat eaters. Several sects within the Hindu religion are very much meat eaters. So, yes, there's definitely a religious choice of vegetarianism as a diet. But even within our religion, the doctrines or the guidelines for who eats what have been very different. And different sects of the religion have adopted different practices, Shivani. So, Shivani, that's a very interesting discussion we're at, and that is a great time to bring out our next question, which is around the same topic. Is vegetarianism purely a religious choice in India? And especially when we're talking about Hinduism, is vegetarianism something that is recommended by Hinduism, by the Hindu religion? What's your take on it, Shivani?
I mean, look, what I do probably want to make clear and sort of adding on to what you said earlier, Isha, is you know, in Hinduism, there's no rigid sort of do's and don'ts. So in Hinduism, you know, Hinduism really gives us the wisdom to make up our own mind in terms of what we put into our bodies, obviously with the exception of cow meat or beef being prohibited. But in terms of, I mean, we do have our Hindu scriptures, including the Vedas, the and the Gitas, which do tell us, you know, you are what you eat. So the scriptures, you know, further state that the food that we eat basically determines the temperament that we possess, right? And according to this, we divide our food into three categories, sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. So there's a very, I guess, a very scientific reason as to why we eat certain things and why we probably avoid other types of foods, is it not?
Yes, Shivani, that's correct. Even, you know, as you mentioned, the three sort of natures of food, right? Sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. Similarly, there's different types of body type. There's different types of combinations that have been recommended. There's different preparation techniques that have been recommended. It's really presented as a whole science, and it's looked at, not just in the physical sense, but from the whole consciousness, your thoughts, your body, your energy levels. We hear the word chakras a lot, your chakras, and everything sort of is supposed to align in the way of, making you feel a certain way, making you think a certain way. So, yes, according to Hinduism, there's no like one guideline, as you mentioned, in Hinduism, but we, as a part of the Indian culture, we have heard of these Ayurvedic segregations of the different types of food, Ayurvedic classifications of the different types of bodies, and which body type should have what type of food, we hear the word tasir, the quality. Every food has some sort of a quality, every food has some sort of a energy level, and having something that matches your energy level, that makes you feel a certain way. So there are deep sciences involved in this. Vegetarianism is not something that is strictly imposed by Hinduism in these sort of dietary guidelines that I'm talking about. There have even been meat has been recommended for some body types or for some sort of ailments, in some certain geographic areas. So there's strict guidelines for why and when meat could probably be medicinal.
So eating meat is not, I guess, a black and white issue, right? But rather a choice that should be, as you say, based on someone's body type, like the dosha type, as well as an individual's personal healthcare needs. I think it's commonly believed that, that by eating an Ayurvedic diet, one should avoid eating meat. Although I think it's ultimately a personal decision, and based on morals, personal preferences, religious ideals, as you say, based on your dosha. So
yes, Shivani, that's exactly correct. So Ayurveda doesn't insist on vegetarianism. Ayurveda has actually mentioned that some meats do have some medicinal properties. You do hear the mention of seafood a lot in Ayurveda as well. However, it is the religions that have sort of gone on and classified food into deeper categories. So a religion like Jainism would be strictly against eating meat. A religion like Vaishnavism, which is something that I follow, is also strictly against eating meat. So the religions have gone on and further defined what one may or may not eat, but the Ayurveda, some of our scriptures have been slightly more open to diets, and they haven't looked at food as a religious choice. They've looked at food more with the scientific point of view, and they've gone deeper into what is important for your body at what time.
So as you mentioned, Isha, and you were brought up, and perhaps not eating meat was highly, highly recommended.
Oh, it was insisted.
Insisted. And even with Jains who object to eating meat, it's often, just for our listeners, the reason being is it's often thought to be sort of unclean. So not just in its physical sense, but ritually and spiritually unclean as well. So, such ideas are very sort of widespread. Even today, in many religions, it teaches us that certain foods have an impurity, I guess, apart from any actual dirt or bacteria that they may contain. Right, Isha?
That's very true, Shivani. You rightly pointed it out. And I mean, there's very many reasons why certain religions oppose it. Eating meat really goes against the main value of these religions, the main sort of foundation of these religions. I've really done a lot of inquiry into these topics, Shivani. And I do see a lot of value in what these religions have recommended and why they have recommended it. This is probably why, it's probably something that has guided your decision to give up meat and take up vegetarianism. It is something that has guided my decision to continue being a vegetarian. And, as you mentioned, there's a lot of impurity in these foods. But there's also a certain consciousness that these foods come with. They say that before an animal is killed, the animal mm-hmm. goes through a lot of stress, a lot of extreme amount of stress, and that stress is going to stay in the body, in the meat of that animal that people are going to consume. So you are actually consuming these stress hormones when you eat this meat. This is something every religion has identified too. That is why there are strict guidelines on how to kill the animal. You look at halal meat. Even Sikhs have a certain technique in which the meat has to be killed, or the meat has to be butchered in that technique. You have kosher meat. It's really about what consciousness you are ingesting when you're eating that food, right, Shivani?
Most definitely, yes. And this reminds me often when, and I'm sure you've been in this position as well, Isha. I have friends, and if I'm out sort of mixing and mingling, there's always acquaintances that like to sort of challenge me in my vegetarianism, in my choices.
Always.
And often they say, if non-violence is one of those arguments against eating meat, and then they often say, then why do you eat plants and so forth?
Plants feel pain too.
So there is essential, violence. There is the non-essential violence. So the simple process of perhaps breathing involves, the killing of bacteria that have life. So killing a bird or an animal for food and plucking, a vegetable in a garden does not involve the same level of violence, pain, or agony for that matter. I mean, because plants simply do not possess, the four senses responsible for feeling the pain. So, to all you haters out there, this one's for you.
Absolutely. No, Shivani, you really correctly pointed that out. Every vegetarian goes through these conversations, and you find it so hard to sort of explain to people where you're coming from. And it's sad that somehow we always find ourselves in these positions where we have to justify don't prefer killing an animal to feed ourselves. And it's a sad reality, that we're in. But along with sort of Shivani, the point that you mentioned about the fact that plants don't have the four senses, unlike animals, another sort of thing is also sort of the environment or where our food is coming from, just the consciousness of the food. We are going to ingest what we are going to become, what we are eating, we are going to take up the quality of the thing that we're eating. And by that I don't mean that if I eat a carrot I'm going to become a carrot, no, but I am sort of whatever we eat, we are sort of taking the element of that food. If there has been sun, water, earth involved in the growing up of a plant, those elements of that sun, water, and earth that have gone in the creation of the plant are going inside my body, and they are going to help my body grow and help my body function. So if we look at it in the same manner, we are ingesting with the animals that are sort of going inside the body, we are ingesting all that, all the life experiences of that animal, all that the animal has been through, and that pain, that agony, and everything is coming inside our body. In today's day and time, with the way animals are being reared and with the way mass meat is being produced.
No, and that's where I guess, when we talk about certain foods having higher frequencies, right? So that the foods with the higher frequencies help to cultivate, a higher mind that perhaps comprehends, deeper truths and a kind of spiritual contentment.
Absolutely.
So as you were saying, a food's frequency or energy really comes from how it is grown, you know, the freshness, the preparation. Higher frequency foods tend to have, you know, that are full of prana or life force. And we believe, or in the, I guess, Ayurvedic school of thought, it's vegetables, that are prepared mindfully and even slowly.
Absolutely, Shivani. And that's exactly why the same food can taste entirely different based on where and how it has been prepared. That's exactly why food from a langar or prasad from a temple is always going to have a certain sort of special taste to it. Or even
ghar ka khana, right?
Yes. Nothing like it. And then, you know, you always ask, I always have this discussion with my mom, and I'm like, listen, I use the same recipe. I did the exact same thing that you did, but it just doesn't taste. It just doesn't taste like your food. And what does the mother say when you say that?
What?
She's always like, oh, it doesn't have maa ka pyaar in it. So cooked with love. So it definitely holds true, you know. That's why food that is prepared in temples, there's constant sort of chants and prayers going around while the chef is preparing that food. Back in the olden days, there was like a technique. The chefs were trained in a certain way to prepare certain types of food. So there's definitely some sort of a logic that is attached to it. It's a really deep topic that requires a very deep level of understanding. And but we have enough examples around us to at least be interested in this and inspire ourselves to inquire into this topic a little bit. What do you think, Shivani?
Definitely. And it really does, the objective is to help balance the gunas, right? Which is the mental energies.
Yes, Shivani. I mean, it's an excellent science. It's defined in the, it's explained by the Ayurveda in an exceptional manner, and it can be really mind-boggling. I mean, I have noticed so many changes in my health after I've sort of understood this science, and I've started practicing it on the daily, changed my eating combinations, understood sort of what food needs to be eaten at what time of the day, what combinations work well with each other. It's transformed my life.
Well, sattvic food is actually considered as the purest form of diet, right? So it really does help in sort of nourishing the body, and it helps maintain a peaceful state somewhat. You know, you stay calm, your body gets purified.
Definitely, Shivani. And even, I didn't really know which foods were exactly classified as sattvic, which foods were exactly classified as rajasic and tamasic. But the more I'm looking into this, I'm getting even answers for things that I had no idea about. So, for instance, I know that most of the vegetarians in India don't eat mushrooms. Were you aware of that?
No, actually, I wasn't.
My father, like every time, I love mushrooms.
I love mushrooms.
Right? Me too. I love mushrooms. And every time I would like give mushrooms to my dad, and he would just be like, oh, this is non-veg. And I would be like, no, this is not non-veg, dad. Like, it's mushrooms. It's vegetarian. And I know a lot of Indians who just be like, no, mushrooms are non-veg. And it's not non-veg for sure. But there's a reason why mushrooms are not consumed by Hindus. Shivani, did you know that mushrooms are classified as tamasic food?
No, I didn't. No wonder I have so much mental unrest, because I'm eating so many mushrooms. Overstimulated mind.
Oh my God, it's insane. It's quite. It was heartbreaking for me to learn that, and I don't know if I'm going to give up mushrooms yet. That's too hard. But it kind of makes sense, because mushrooms are grown in dark, sort of damp places, and darkness, and you know, the lack of sunlight, and the mushroom that's growing up. That's why it's classified as a tamasic food, I guess. I might be wrong about it again, but I did read this somewhere, and I'm like, oh, maybe that's why Hindus don't eat it.
Well, it sounds, sounds good enough of a reason,
Exactly.
And what's rajasic? Rajasic is usually hot, bitter, salty and spicy stuff, right?
Yes, I think extreme spicy food, so a limited amount of spice is good, but the more spicy you make it, the more I think it goes towards rajasic food. And even your aromatics, your ginger, your garlic, your onion, they're all a part of Ratsik food. So these foods are associated more with ambition, or rather like overactive mind, passion, yeah. desire, all the sort of worldly things, not yeah. The higher
material
level of
things. Yeah.
Yes, so Ratsik food exactly is more sort of material, our chatpata, tikha, tasty stuff that's mostly Ratsik foods.
Yeah, no wonder I feel under the weather today. I think last night I definitely, which category did I abuse? Maybe tamasic. Yeah. Yeah, so self-induced.
See, the thing is, Shivani, it's not that, you know, Ayurveda says just be sattvic. It's about balancing. Yep. It's about balancing
it
these
is.
Three yep. factors out. It's about balancing your doshas out. So, you know, so, I mean, that's what at least Ayurveda says. So I think you're good.
Yeah. Well, so should we move to our next topic, the holy cow?
Yes, taking the
and Hinduism. How this fits. Yes, how this fits into vegetarianism. Yeah.
So Shivani, let's first begin this conversation by understanding why cows are considered sacred in India, and do Hindus worship cows?
Well, Hindus don't consider the cow to be God. So we don't really worship it as such. You know, however, we do consider it to be sacred. So we worship it in a sense. Where we worship it as Gomata, so mother cow, because, you know, it provides milk, it symbolizes selfless sort of giving. So really it's a symbol of life that should be protected and revered. And even in, you know, some of our scriptures, including the Vedas, you know, the cow is associated with Aditi, which is the mother of all gods. You know, even in the Bhagavad Gita, there are references to cows and the sacredness around cows. So, you know, cows are considered to be very auspicious amongst Hindus. You know, they're said to bring blessings and happiness to those who honor them. But, you know, regardless of how the cow taboo began, it really has become sort of deeply entrenched in the Indian culture.
Absolutely, Shivani. You know, you correctly pointed out, no, we do not worship cow as a god. However, it's a very sacred animal to us. And I believe, again, you know, sort of taking the conversation back to the consciousness bit, you know, the cow was considered as an ultimate giver, and cow was sort of, you know, considered as the provider of milk and fuel. And, you know, sort of the cow would also be of some help in the farming. And it was an animal that was there for the entire family. It was seen as an extremely intelligent being. The cow laughed with you. The cow cried with you. The cow was very much a part of your family. Quite similar, if I think someone wants to understand it. It would be very much like our today's pets, you know, our the dogs or the cats that people get so attached to. That's really how the cows were back in the day for the civilization, Shivani.
Yeah, so it's really been, you know, the center of Hinduism for centuries now, right? I mean,
correct.
And I'm sure there's no doubt the cow will continue to be honored by Hindus for even centuries to come.
Absolutely.
The cow won't be giving up its high status anytime soon, regardless of how many times its herds block city traffics, right?
Right, Shivani. No, but I mean, to sort of explain why beef is not consumed in our culture is, in a nutshell, is that we consider cow as an extremely intelligent creature, and we consider cow as a provider for the family in a lot of way. We consider the cow as an auspicious creature, and we consider her as having a really high consciousness, for that matter. it's too sentimental of an animal, and it has been too sentimental of an animal for the Hindus from a religious perspective to know, even consider eating it. Hence, this animal is banned. Yeah. So it's not similar to the pig ban for the Jews and the Muslims. It's a different reason entirely, which is why I think people find it hard to understand.
Yeah, I think every part of the cow has some sort of religious sort of parallel, right?
Yes, Shivani. But all of these factors aside, currently in India, there is a sort of a beef ban going on, and there is a Gau Raksha Brigade, an army of, cow protecting soldiers who have taken the authority to go and lynch people, go and kill people in the name of their religion, in the name of protecting their Gau Mata. And it's really a sorry state that our country is, it's a really sorry situation right now, Shivani. What's your take on the beef ban?
Look, I obviously, in terms of the beef ban itself, I support it. It marries up to my, I guess, religious sentiments and, my moral and ethical values that I hold. So I support it. But in terms of the violent acts of crime, I mean, obviously that is just appalling. And killing in the name of cows, it's shameful. And I don't at all support this. Yeah, the vigilante groups that are, beating up and sometimes killing people, even if they suspect these people to be slaughtering cows or so forth. Yeah, it's quite concerning.
I have a slightly different opinion over there, Shivani. I don't support the beef ban at all. There are several reasons for why I don't support it. Now, as much of a sort of conscious eater or a religious follower that I may be, I do believe that at the end of the day, our country is a diverse country. Hinduism may be the majority religion, but our constitution has given an equal space to all the other religions out there. And just the fact that Hindus don't consume beef doesn't mean that other castes will follow or have to follow that practice as well, just because they live in a country of majority Hindus. So that's why I personally don't think that beef ban should be supported. And the moment we put a word like ban on something, people sort of take it upon themselves to protect that ban. And our country doesn't really have the most intelligent of masses to begin with. So you can really twist and turn things in the name of politics, in the name of religion. And if we pass such laws, then it is these people who are going to make use of these sort of quite pointless laws, I guess, and abuse their being a majority religion. And that's exactly what people are doing. Yeah. So,
and it's not really, I mean, it's not a ban on beef. I mean, but it's a ban on slaughtering cows. So banning consumption or possession of beef is simply just a measure to check illegal slaughtering. I mean, in my opinion, if you consider yourself sort of forward-thinking or liberal-minded for reasons that are entirely, you should therefore perhaps, support this. And it's for reasons that are entirely non-religious or apolitical.
Shivani, they might be saying that it's non-religious and apolitical, but it kind of is sort of taking a religious side by separating the cow out, saying because this animal is religious for us, or it's religious for it's sort of religious or sentimental for the majority religion of the country, there's a ban on slaughtering of that animal. And it is now, even though it is not political, it is now being used for politics, isn't it? And that's the sad part here.
That's the sad part. Yes, I agree. That is the sad part. But there's religious beliefs set aside. you know, look at the environmental and the economical benefits. You know, farmers benefit economically by having cows, and there are several environmental benefits like using cow dung and, you know, even cow urine, you know, which has elements or properties which have, you know, been medically proven. So, you know, they don't cause soil pollution. There's a plethora of reasons as to, yeah, I mean, and given we probably don't have time today on today's show, but yeah, I mean, you set aside religious beliefs. It really is beneficial to our society.
Yes, there's no disagreeing to the points that you're making, Shivani, but I still don't agree with the cow ban. And I still feel that if we recognize how much benefit the cow has, then I think the starting point would be taking care of the cows that are sort of roaming around on the streets, you know, getting hurt and hit by the cars. You know, we're not, it's not as if our country is really taking great care of the cow the way it claims or is showing or projecting great love for the cow, as, you know, we're sort of making it out to be. So I think before we put a ban on something and before we sort of have to see so much violence going on in the country in the name of that ban, there's a long way to go, and there's a lot of work that we could do before sort of putting out these you know, words like ban out there.
As well as, I mean, you know, the country, and you rightly said so, Isha, you know, we do need to commit in all aspects of showing, you know, compassion not only towards cows roaming the streets in India, but all animals. There are so many street dogs. I definitely agree with you there. And perhaps, you know, we're at a time where, you know, the country is experiencing such high levels of unemployment. You know, there's the poverty. And whilst we have come a long way in terms of development, especially in recent years, you know, we can't be seen as devoting or investing this much time and having, you know, such sort of emotional conversations around beef ban. I mean, it's easier to divert attention sort of away from, you know, fundamental economic issues and turning, you know, beef eating into a form of divisive identity politics.
Absolutely, so. Shivani, absolutely. And especially, you know, in this political time when Hinduism is, you know, going beyond a religion and is being used and abused for simply political gains, I think we need to be extremely sensitive around these issues, especially when we are dealing with a mass that is using Hinduism for the wrong reasons. When you give them something like a beef ban, they are going to go and attack a certain sort of a minority religion, a certain public from a minority religion. And that is the last thing that a Hindu wants, or that is the last thing that our religion instructs or endorses, right, Shivani?
Yep. I mean, all of a sudden you've seen people that you know, that weren't eating beef or don't eat beef and were previously, you know, never concerned about others eating it, have all of a sudden become, you know, roused and taking a stronger, less tolerant stance than before. So it's, yeah, look, there are benefits, global warming benefits. So if anything, it's a good thing. So Isha, that brings us, I guess, to our last topic. How do you think vegetarianism is sort of dealt with in today's day and age? Is it a health choice or an ethical choice from an animal welfare perspective? Or is it, you know, a religious or political choice?
Shivani, that's a great question. My thoughts, at least from my perspective, it's no more a religious, or it's definitely not a political choice. It's also not a religious choice anymore. I don't think, you know, anybody, at least I don't think religion is being so strict in guiding these decisions anymore, at least not for the metropolitan culture. But it is definitely becoming more and more of an ethical choice. Also, very importantly, a health choice. So I think for me, it's a total health choice and sort of a slightly spiritual choice as well, in the sense of sort of consciousness and the vibrations of what I'm consuming. I guess that's probably why people are not only moving from, you know, being non-vegetarians to vegetarians, but people are also moving towards veganism. Because nowadays, with the way, with the sort of highly industrialized mass production practices, even the milk that is produced or the way in which the milk is produced and handled, it's not good for us. It's not good for our body. And it's not, it's these are not products that are produced ethically. So I guess I too, you know, I'm considering veganism. However, it's going to be difficult for me. But, you know, the more of, you know, if I say that this is a health choice and an ethical choice, then it is definitely going sort of, I would take that one more leap ahead and even consider veganism as an option, because that's the ethical sort of direction that I think the world should be going into, in terms of a diet, in terms of and it's also going to benefit not just everybody's consciousness, not just our health, but even the environment. So that's where I'm at right now. What about you, Shivani?
Those were my thoughts as well. I think you know, it of late, people are definitely making a more conscious and informed decision when it comes to their diet. And I think, you know, there's definitely the ecological sort of balance, which is playing quite an important role and a deciding factor into why people are choosing to become, you know, vegetarians. You know, we're seeing some big problems with global warming, you know, loss of rainforests and so forth. So, you know, pound for pound, for more resources, you know, the resources that we expand into producing meat, compared to the resources we expand in producing, you know, grains, fruits and vegetables, doesn't come anywhere close. So, yeah, I think people are definitely making more informed decisions, and, you know, when it comes to their health, medical studies have definitely sort of proven that vegetarians are obviously less susceptible to major diseases. So, yeah, there are, you know, a lot of benefits to choosing to lead a vegetarian or, I guess, even a vegan lifestyle. Yeah, so in a nutshell, I mean, besides, you know, especially when it comes to myself, you know, besides being an expression of compassion for animals, I think me amongst many others, you know, vegetarianism is now really being followed for ecological and health rationales as well. So, you know, for a proper working of a country like India, you know, there really must be a sense of brotherhood amongst its people. So we really mustn't let, you know, allow trivial matters to divide us, such as beef bans. So, yeah, I'd just like to leave our listeners with that thought, Isha.
Okay, Shivani, that's a great thought to leave our listeners with, and I think that's a great note to end our episode on today. Hope you all enjoyed listening to today's episode. Thank you for joining us in our conversation today, and we hope you join us again next week for yet another conversation on our podcast, Saffron Spice with Isha and Shivani.
And be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcasting app. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or review us on iTunes. Stay tuned for our new episode next week. Till then, goodbye.